Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
The hunger for God in you may be the most important thing about you that God uses to stir a hunger for God in others. The hunger for God in you might just be the most important thing about you that God uses to stir a hunger for God in other people. And I think there's a lot of evidence around that. Actually, Jesus alludes to that in what is the most popular sermon of all times. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said these words right here: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And the evidence that we can see that that actually might be true, that your passion for God, your hunger for God, your thirst for God, your willingness to give yourself to God and to invest in the things of God can actually shape the world around you. The evidence starts as far back as Jesus walking on this earth and recruiting 12 guys that he poured into that they might have proximity with him, have hunger for his ways, thirst for his ways, have a passion for the things that he had a passion for. And then 11 of those 12 went out and shaped the world. And we wonder, how did they, just 11 guys, invest with such passion and such fire, have such hunger, such thirst for God, that the world was shaped, that the world was forever changed, that the largest organization on planet Earth that you and I belong to, the Church of Jesus Christ, would actually be vibrant and alive here today in the year 2025. How did that happen? And it actually happened same way it can happen for us, and it happens this way, not alone. Not alone. There's no way that 11 guys were gonna pull that off all by themselves. Can't be done. And Jesus made it really clear that you would not be alone by stating that he would be with them. Number one, that you wouldn't be alone, but that he would forever be with us. He would not leave us nor forsake us. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he made it really clear. When you go out with passion for me, when you go out with heart for me, when you go out with a hunger and thirst for me, to teach others the things that I've taught you, the ways that I taught you, the way of living and being that I shared with you, I promise I will be with you to the very end of the age. So number one, Jesus made a promise, I'll be with you. Number two, we know that the Holy Spirit was sent forth to empower us. And a lot of us that have been around the idea of the Holy Spirit, maybe we falsely have thought that there's a hierarchical move with God, that we have God the Father as number one and Jesus the Son as number two. And then the Holy Spirit can often be just about an afterthought, but that's just not reality. It's not the Bible. And what the Bible teaches very clearly is that the Holy Spirit is fully God. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent forth to empower us to do the work that hungering and thirsting for God, chasing after the things of God, being Jesus in the world. Jesus said, I'll be with you and I'll send the Holy Spirit in you to empower you to do the work, which means we're not alone. Number three, that not only is God with us and active in us, but God is also moving around us, all around us. There's evidence that God is always on the move. God's always up to something. And when we see what God is up to, that is our opportunity to actually join God in that work. Meaning this, that the world, if it's ever, and I don't think it's any surprise to any of us in this room, that the world has experienced division for centuries. As long back as we could go, and we are living in times where we're seeing the same. There's division in the world. If the world's ever going to get it together, it's going to be through us, because we happen to be the people of God. And Jesus' desire was to bring the world together. He didn't just come for individuals on planet Earth for the sake of the world. He came for God so loved the entirety of us all. If it's going to come together, it's going to come together through the church, and with whom Jesus said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. When you're doing this work, I'm there with you. It's going to come through the church, who's been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to come when not only is Jesus with us and the Holy Spirit in us, but when we witness God moving around us. If the world is ever going to experience peace, it's going to come through us who belong to the Prince of Peace. If there's ever going to be hope, well, let it be us, the people who watched and then began to witness. And centuries later, we're still witnesses too. The greatest hope of all, that Jesus Christ came up and out of a grave, that death could not hold him. If the world's ever going to experience it, it's going to experience it through us. And I want to give some anchor points here today. If where we see not only Jesus coming true to his promise, I will be with you in this work, I promise, and the Holy Spirit empowering us for that kind of work, but watching God actually move. And I don't know if any of you remember, it was April of 1995. Maybe some of us right here were actually there. And some of us were just hearing about it because it just happened down the road, 20 minutes away, over at Hope College. They threw a worship service with some of the students there. And there was a fairly small gathering of people that showed up at first, where they started a worship service that was going to last, they thought, maybe an hour, hour and a half. And at that point, the chaplains got really surprised because God began to move. He began to attend and stir the hearts of the participants who were there. And that service, it went into the late hours of the night as one student after another, it started with just one, coming up and confessing some sin in his life, and then another, and then another. And prayer broke out and weeping broke out as brokenness was in the room and of authenticity that came. And that hunger for God, to see more of God in their lives, it was contagious because it's true. It's absolutely true that the hunger for God in you might just be. It might just be the most important thing about you that God uses to stir a hunger in others. And it started happening on Hope College's campus. And what happened is that worship service that was meant to be an hour, hour and a half, it went into the wee hours of the night, they described it. They finally shut it down to get some sleep, said, let's come back the next night. And then the next night, three nights of worship, hours and hours on end, where it became a packed house. I remember chapel in 1985. I was a student at Hope College. And I went because I was hungry for God. And I just showed up into the chapel service in the morning hours at the school. And we could count pretty quickly how many people were in there, 40, 50, that were in chapel in a school that held 3,000 people, 40, 50 of us at chapel. Well, the auditorium, the Dimnit Chapel, holds 800-900 people. And after that three-night revival that took place there at Hope's campus, the chapel back in 1995 became packed, and they had standing, literally standing room only. And it lasted and lasted and lasted. And to this day, 30 years later, it is still having that impact in that place. God was on the move, hungry hearts, and the kind of hunger for God that was in them became the most important thing about them that stirred a greater hunger in the students that were around them. It was February of 2023. I shared the story when it was happening. Maybe you remember what happened on Asbury's campus. There was a group of college students that went in for a worship service. Same sort of thing. The worship service went on to the next day and to the next day. 16 days later, before that worship service ended, God was up to something that was stirring an incredible hunger in the lives of these students. It was back in January that I shared, right at the beginning of this year, I was sharing that some new stats had just come out. It was October of 2023 to October of 2024. And it was encouraging news, though all statisticians, myself, not a statistician, just a pastor, was like scratching my head, but super encouraged by it because Bible sales went up 24% year over year from October 2023 to October 2024. And it was a head scratcher, like, who's buying these things? Because it was happening in Europe and in America. In Europe, like where we had heard the church is dead, and in America where things weren't trending the right direction, who is buying all these Bibles? And they didn't know. At first, nobody knew. And then in real time, they began to dig down. And they're like, wait a minute. This doesn't feel right, but all the signs are pointing to that it's actually teenagers up through that 30-something-year-old bracket. It's the Gen Z crowd that is buying all these Bibles in Europe and in America. Like, what's going on? This hunger for God, this thirst for God is being birthed in this generation. And then they found out not just that, but they're out reading every other demographic out there. They didn't just get their Bibles, they're in their Bibles. They are reading the Word at a higher level than any other demographic out there. Maybe you heard, it was in May. It was the week of Pentecost, just months ago, in the month of May, that hundreds of churches in California decided, we're gonna do this together. We're gonna band together as a group of churches, and we're gonna go to the Pacific Ocean, and on Pentecost Sunday, believe God for a move, and go into the waters of the Pacific Ocean and begin to baptize 12,000 people plus got baptized. Wow. There's an anchor point for what God is up to. Many of us have followed sports, and we followed not only what happens on the field, but what happens in the locker room. And we've heard the stories all over America. Sports teams, college students that are getting baptized. And I've got a good friend that was sharing with me, like, I don't root for Ohio State on the field, but let me tell you something. What's happening off the field in that team is remarkable. What God is doing in that student population, those guys of Ohio State's football team, it's incredible that they're falling in love with Jesus. They hunger and thirst for God in such a way that it's contagious, and God is doing something real in them. There is a thread that we can pull through all of this for decades and say, Jesus made a promise, I'm gonna be with you. The Holy Spirit said, I will empower you for the work that I've given to you. And God has been moving. 1995, we can go to 2023. We can begin to wonder what's happening with this younger generation. What's God doing in that younger generation? And then to see evidence that they are reading the scripture, diving in. Teams are getting thousands of people being baptized. All of that points to an incredible move of God. I actually thought this morning that I was gonna show up and share something that maybe very few of us had heard of before. It was several months ago. I was working on this sermon series. I was in my office writing some stuff for our other churches and for us here. And I want to show you what I wrote. This is back a couple months ago. Like, I just want them to know that there's nothing flashy here. Almost no headlines pointing to it. But it's real. There is a quiet revival happening among Gen Z. God is moving below the surface, and the question is this: will we make space for the next generation's faith awakening? Will we make space for the next generation's faith awakening? No headlines. Well, that's changed just in the last weeks here. That the word quiet has been removed from the word revival. And revival has actually hit the headlines. And when we talk about that, like revival, that we pray for and we long for and we wish that God would do, what are we actually asking for? What are we praying for? What are we longing for? My favorite definition of revival is this. It is an inrush of the spirit into a body that threatens to decompose. The body of Christ that just starts going through the motions. The body of Christ that kind of wanes in its hunger for God. The body of Christ that wanes in its thirst for Jesus and for the things of God. The body of Christ that goes off track and begins to follow some teachings that aren't really the teachings of Scripture themselves. The body of Christ that begins to look less like Jesus and more like the world. The body of Christ, an inrush of the Spirit into a body that threatens to decompose. So how do we respond to what God is doing in this world? Because he's doing it. I mean, it's really clear. And it's not just the last couple weeks. It's been years in the making, years in the building. What felt like it was under the surface is up now, and we can see it, and we have stats around it. What are we supposed to do with this stuff? And I would say this to us as a church, to you as a follower of Jesus Christ, and I wouldn't just look at you as an individual. We belong to one another. We are the body of Christ. We do this with one another. We need every single one of us in on this, that those of us who choose to walk by the Spirit are also called to live according to the Spirit, the one who dwells inside of us. Paul said that. Don't just talk about the Spirit, but walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit. And what does that look like in this world? What does that look like for us to do this? Well, Jesus got really clear when he said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. As I have lived, now you are to live. As I have moved, now you are to move. Which tells me, again, if there's going to be peace in the world, if there's going to be hope in the world, if there's going to be unity that comes to this world, if there's going to be anybody, it's us. It's us because we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are joining Jesus in mission, and we are watching God move. What is the join up? What is the work that we're called to do? If we're going to live by the Spirit, we got to walk by the Spirit. And if we're walking by the Spirit, what's the evidence that that's actually happening? Well, the evidence is this. It's not hard. It's in the book of Galatians. And prior to that, Jesus said, you will know a tree by the fruit it bears. It's not hard to find an apple tree. Just right out Fruit Ridge right now. You can see them. It's not hard to see a peach tree. It's different fruit on it. It's not hard to see a plum tree. They just have different fruit on it. Jesus said, you're going to know a tree by the fruit it bears. And the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And the work of Jesus in this world, it wasn't hard to see. Just read the Gospels. That's all you have to do. Just read it. He was for the underdog. He was out there working for the marginalized. Those that are broken, need of healing, he was there. Those that were lost, he was on a mission. I'm going to go find you and bring you into the fold. Those of you that feel like you don't belong, oh, yes, you do. You belong with me. He was bringing them in. He was making that move toward the world, toward you and toward me. When we were at our worst, that's what he was doing. That's the work he did. And then the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, if you want to know, is the fruit that's on us, is it evidence that we are actually walking and living in the Spirit? All we have to do is say, what's the fruit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Is that who we are? Because if it is, there's evidence that we're walking in the ways of Jesus. We're empowered by the Spirit who lives in us, and we will rightly join God in the move that is around us. I was listening to a preacher online, pretty popular preacher, a lot of followers, and I just caught a clip from him. And he said this, and he said, you know, the Ten Commandments, there's a bunch of people out there that have added the 11th commandment to the Ten Commandments. That's just not there. And that 11th commandment that they want to add to it is kindness, and that's not there. And I went, time out. I just want you to know, there's a lot of false teaching going on around, and some of those pastors are extremely popular right now. And I went, okay, so kindness might not be in the top 10 commandments, but love is. Love God and love other people. And if the fruit that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is actually in you, that you are actually walking in the Spirit, you are living by the Spirit, one of those is kindness, then wait a minute. How is it that we would actually try to shoot that down? If it's not in you and you are not moving that way, you are not walking according to the Spirit. I would say it again, that the hunger that is in you for God, really for God, may be the most important thing about you. If we could pull that up, Ashley or Angie, important thing about you that God uses to stir the love of God, the true way of Christ in this world and other people. Jesus said, blessed are you. Blessed are you. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, because you will be filled. It's a promise. I want to read them all a minute with you. Matthew 5, verses 2 through 12. Just read what Jesus said. This is such a beautiful picture of us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is the way of the kingdom. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's just like Jesus, for they will be called children of God. You have my DNA. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's just back up to verse 6 here. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That word, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That word for hunger there, that word is the word makaroi. And that word is used to talk about your state of relationship with God. That's the longing. And when we think about hungering and thirsting for God, and here it specifically says righteousness. What are we talking about? It's the ways of God. And this is both an inward move that I want to call us to here today and an outward move. And the inward move is this. The inward move is that we are rightly aligned with God, that your heart is right with God, that your life is actually right with God, that if there's sin in your life, that you rightly acknowledge that before God and come clean with God on it. You just agree with him on it. You invite Jesus to come down and to forgive you for that. And you invite the Holy Spirit to empower you to stop living in that direction and to turn toward another direction. It is a righteous move to get right with God inside. That's the call of us as church, that we hunger and we thirst to be right internally with God. I was listening to a podcast by a man that was interviewing Tim Keller at one point to write his biography when Tim Keller was still alive. Pastor Tim Keller was having a conversation with him, and he asked him, What's it like to battle cancer a second time? He was in a second round in his battle with cancer. And Tim Keller said to him, I'm not battling cancer. I'm battling sin. That's my only battle. And I know sooner than later now, I'm going to meet up with Jesus. And I just want my heart to be so right with him that there would be no reason for me not to be caused to want to run into his arms. Just want to see him in his face. As I thought about that, I thought about my own life, and I invite you to do the same a minute. Here's a guy dying of cancer, trying to get his life really right with God. And that makes sense, right? And I thought about what would happen in my relationship with God if I were to be diagnosed with a terminal illness, or if something happened in my family, or something happened wherever in my life that the wheels just started coming off. And I thought, would I be closer to God? Would I be doing that inward work of wanting to be more right with God then than I am right now? And my answer was, yes, I would pray more. I would dive into scripture like it was life to me more. And then it just hit me. And as I was praying, I just thought, Lord, why not now? Why not right now when things are going well? Why would I wait for something like that to drive me to you? Sorry, Lord. And that hunger and thirst, I'm asking for more of it in my life. And there's this outward move as well. When we think about being righteous, right with God internally, but there's this outward move as well. An outward move where we recognize this isn't just about me, but it's about the world around me. And if Jesus was sent for the sake of the world, then as the Father sent him, me too. Then all that's wrong with the world, I want to go out and do my best to make it right with the world. I want to do right by the people that I'm surrounded by. I want to help all people. I want the Holy Spirit to work in me. I know Jesus is with me. I know God is moving around me. I want to join God in whatever that work is to make a difference in this world. And when I talk about that, it's not some big lofty thing. It is people, real people with real stories and real needs and real hurts and real concerns that I can lean into and you can lean into. I want us to know here today, and this might not be an easy thing to hear, but I hang out with this younger generation just enough to know that there's a growing population of young people. The one that we're talking about, that we're excited about, that are buying the Bibles, that are getting hungry for Jesus, that have a growing dissatisfaction with the way they have watched adults behave. They watched, and they're tired of misbehaving adults. They have a growing dissatisfaction with just going through the motions. They have a hunger for the truth, and they've had a hard time finding it. They're looking at the news and saying, I can't find it there. Now you pick your phone up anymore and try to find truth. You don't know what you're reading anymore. Is that true or isn't that true? No idea. They're going through life saying, what's the meaning in this thing? And then they did what God had so hardwired us for. And they found that Jesus was with and the Holy Spirit would take up residence. But they got caught up in this move of God. And they start buying this and diving into the truth and got really hungry and started out reading every other demographic because they weren't just finding the Bible. They weren't just finding the Bible truths in here. They weren't just diving into the Word of God. They were encountering the God of this Word. And they got hungry for it and their lives shifted. I just want us to think about that. How are we going to join that? How are we going to make space for that? What does it look like for us to not get outrun, but to actually join them in a race that God is actually doing? And the race is this, toward righteousness. I'm going to get right with God, and I'm going to do right by the world in every way I can. That I want this tree to look like the very fruit of the Spirit, more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want to walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit as Jesus was, I want to be. So I want to invite us. You got a little card when you were walking in here. These are just a couple ideas. God might be doing something way beyond this in you, but just these three things right here that you would commit to a new spiritual habit. And maybe for some of us today, quite frankly, it's time to dust your Bible off, like for real, and to get into this. Not because you want to get into the Word of God, but because the God of the Word wants to get into you. He longs for that. And he wants that. And we need that together, that we'd be those people. That you'd be a person of prayer. Just start praying more and reading more and getting hungry more. Maybe take a tip from Tim Keller. But don't wait. Don't wait until the wheels come off till it drives you. God's on the move already. Let's join him in that. And maybe this for you. You need to seek out a spiritual mentor. Maybe for you, you're like, I've never done this before. I don't know where to start. I'm brand new to this thing. Well, that's why we belong to one another. Jesus had students. Maybe you need somebody to walk it out with you. And I, on a regular basis, Lori, Ashley, Mackenzie, Brandon, Laura, there's a group of leaders around here. On a regular basis, we are teaming up people with people for the very purpose of you growing in your faith. Would love to help you with that. And all I would ask is that you make your faith active. You begin to activate it. When you see God moving in a relationship that maybe you could lean into, just lean in. Because your hunger for God, the deeper it runs, may be the most important thing about you that God actually uses to stir a hunger in somebody else. I've said enough this morning. Braden, I'd love to invite you up. This is Braden Bachhuizen, and I've had the privilege of connecting with Braden several different times. I heard you for the first time stand up here and just kind of share a bit of your story of what God was doing in your life. And so I got to sit across the table with him and eat with him and then on the phone with him and talk. But Braden, can you just share a little bit about what God's been doing in your life?
So before I say anything about what God's done in my life and how I hunger for God, I sin like everybody else and I fall into temptation and I am no more righteous or less sinful than anybody here. And just like everybody else, I fall into sin just like everybody here.
Well, I appreciate that, Braden. Me too, man. It's true. I mean, that's all of us, and I appreciate your humility on that. I also know that hunger that you have for God, it's been growing, and it's led you to some places. And maybe share a little bit about your friend group and what God's been doing there.
So I love God so much. And with my friends, we decided to start a Bible study this year, and it's like about 12 of us, and it's just my friends, and we just read the Bible once a week on Tuesday mornings. We wake up, and we just go there before school, and it's just cool to see not only God's movement in me, but God's movement in my friends, too, because I ultimately want to see my friends in heaven and everybody in heaven, too, so it's just nice to see how God moves in other people, too.
All right, that's Tuesday morning, right?
Yeah.
And then Thursday morning.
Yeah, so Thursday morning, one of our teachers, they just started another Bible study that I also go to, and that it has some of the same friends in my other Bible study on Tuesdays, and it has other people from the school that I would never like think would like go to a Bible study, and it's just cool to see God move through people who I just like wouldn't ever like guess it and would never know that God moved through them.
Yeah, and then you're part of our youth group. What are you seeing God do there?
Yeah, so our youth group, when I like first started, it was pretty big. And then like as kind of COVID came, it kind of like died down a little and it was pretty tiny. And now, like, over these past 2 years, it is just huge. And I just love seeing people go crazy for God and just see what he's doing in other teenagers' lives.
Yeah, the youth group, we had our worship night here. And at our worship night, we had roughly one-third of the population from our entire church. We were all invited into that thing. One-third of the group was high school students. We had over 100 high school, junior high kids that were here just worshiping and praising God. And I know you were a part of that group. So Tuesday morning, you have a Bible study with your friends. And then Thursday morning, it's another group of friends that you're with, some overlap. Sunday evenings, you're with the group here, the student ministry. You've been to the worship nights as well with that. What about your personal time with God? Tell us about that.
So I try to read the Bible every day, but obviously, like everybody else here, like, you get too tired before you go to bed, or you're just sick and you don't want to read it. But I try as much as I can to just get in the Word, because that's what the ultimate truth is. And it's just important that you also pray too, because prayer is like the best way to talk to God and to get your words out with him and not just hear his words too.
Yeah, you were sharing with me, which I thought was pretty amazing, that you moved away from just devotionals. Not that they're bad, they're good. But why did you move away from the devotionals for you personally?
So for me personally, I decided to just start reading scripture instead of devotion, because it's like scripture is God's words to us. Compared to devotional, it's somebody kind of almost interpreting God's words to us, which that's just what works for me. So if devotionals works for you, that's great. But just for me, I just like hearing God's word directly to me and just hear what he has to say through his words.
Yeah. Okay, one more thing. You had shared, we were having dinner together and with a couple other guys. But in the conversation, we were talking about what's the one thing that's getting in the way of your generation or the biggest roadblock to people really getting a hunger for God. And we started talking about technology, and we went off on that for probably 10 minutes. You flat interrupted the conversation. We're like, wait, I changed my mind, and maybe you could share just a little bit about that.
So, yeah, I first started talking about whole technology, and, like, that's the obvious answer, right, for our generation, because everybody has phones and everybody, like, spends so much time on them. But then I thought in my mind, and I was like, well, what about sports? Because sports is, everybody does them, and everybody kind of just, like, oh, sports are so much fun, so why don't we do them? And so for me, as growing up, I've always loved baseball, and I play baseball in high school now, but I was never allowed to play travel baseball because my parents made the decision to not let me play because it was on Sundays. And as a kid, right, I did not like that because I just wanted to play more baseball. But now that I've grown up, I'm just, like, so thankful that my parents made that sacrifice and that choice to prioritize church over a sport, because church and getting closer to God matters so much more than just some sport that has no meaning in real life. Now, that does not mean that travel sports are bad or anything, but that's just in my life what has impacted me.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. We were talking about how in baseball, your coach will always tell you, keep your eye on the ball, and your parents chose that the ball that they wanted to keep your eyes to be kept on. It was just Jesus that they wanted there. So if you think about this generation, it's a generation that's hungry for God, and Brayden's just one of them. And I appreciate your humility in that. He actually wrestled, so you should know this. He wrestled with coming up here because he didn't want to say, take a look at me, but take a look at Jesus and what Jesus has been doing in you and in your generation there. But when we think about them outreading us, it probably makes sense now. It's Tuesday morning, it's Thursday morning, then it's Sunday night, it's personal devotions, it's beyond that, you actually serve. So on Sunday mornings, you'll come to worship, and you're over there with the preschoolers pouring into them, and there's a hunger that is real. And so for those of you that are in that generation that has already been statistically labeled as that group, that God is doing something in your generation that's like teenagers up through that 30-something. I want you to prepare your heart for a minute because Brayden wants to pray for you. So get your heart ready and get yourself open to what God might actually be trying to do in you to stir a deeper hunger in you. For those of you that are younger than that, pay attention, because Jesus is all about you too. He made it really clear, the kingdom of heaven, that my kingdom belongs to you too. And then for those of us that are older, I'm going to pray for us, that we wouldn't only be prepared to foster what God's doing, but we would actually join it, that we would join up with us and step in with a greater hunger for God. All right, if you're ready, if you're somebody here today, I'm going to ask you to move with your feet on this. If you're somebody here today that's feeling God calling you toward more righteousness, being right with him, that there's something in your life he's saying, I want to get right with you. If you're somebody here today that's in a place where you're thinking, I need to move more rightly in the world. If you're somebody here today that's ready to confess before God and just let him know, I've been one of those people that kindness has not been a mark of my life. Love, not so much. Joy, peace, patience, that gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, this life might not look or have the fruit that it should have, and you're ready to get right with God on that. If you're somebody here today that wants more, just more of God, we're going to pray for you in just a second, but I would ask that you would just stand.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you for this younger generation that is just wanting to grow closer to you and just thirst for your word and just everything that it gives to us. And I pray that through all the temptations that this world gives us and all of the hard things that our society gives us, like what's going on in the world right now and just everything that piles on us, I pray that we stand firm in our faith and that we continue our growth closer to you. And I pray that it's not only just us, that we help other people grow closer to you, because we should want other people in heaven with us, and that we just should shine your light through us so that other people can also walk with you also. Amen.
Father, thank you for Braden, for his humility, that he steps up here as a man that says, me too. I don't always get it right, but I do love Jesus. And I love what God's doing in my generation. I thank you too for the young children that are here today that get to see somebody like him, these others that are so in love with you. Thank you for what you're doing in the student population to be a witness to the younger generation. Lord, may you do something beautiful in them as well. For those of us that are older, we have so many different things in this room, and you're a God that can attend to every single thing that we're dealing with. For those of us that are saying we're out of step with you, been out of step with the Spirit, been out of step with what God you're calling me to be and do, and I want to get right with you today, we praise you that you're a God that forgives and then empowers for the work that you want to do in us. So come, Holy Spirit, and do that work. And may we, who made internal commitments here today, for a new spiritual practice, it's time for me to get in the Word. It's time for me to have a more intimate relationship with Jesus. It's time for me to join a small group. It's time for me to get a mentor. It's time for me to actually pay attention to where you're moving and join you in that work and make my faith active. It's time for such a time as this. We were able to pull the threads from 1995 to 2023, to Bible sales going up, and to know statistically it's a younger generation, thousands of baptisms in the ocean, football teams and basketball teams and sports teams that are finding their way back to you. But may that thread not stop outside, but find its way to sow deeply into our soul and pull us closer to you. Come, Lord Jesus, and do that work in your church called Fairhaven. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.